I should perhaps say first that I'm sorry about the temperature in chapel this morning. And all I can really do is urge you, if you want to faint, try and do it quietly. I hope that part of the training of evangelists is letting you know what a bad sermon sounds like. And part of knowing what a bad sermon sounds like is, of course, knowing what a bad sermon illustration sounds like. I remember many years ago coming across the anecdote of a rather self-satisfied archdeacon preaching on some special occasion. He said, "Recently I was going down a road and I met a man. And I said to this man, 'My man, where are you going?' And do you know what that man said to me? He said, 'I'm going to hell.' And do you know what I said to that man? I said, 'Never fear, my man, your church is with you.'" I suspect that that kind of question is not the place to start with the good news. But there is a question which we might ask as we try and share the gospel, which is not, "My man, where are you going?" but something more like, "Where do you think you are?" Not just what's the kind of world you think you're inhabiting, but where do you think you are? Your mind, your heart, your hopes, your anxieties. Where are you with yourself, with your life? Because that, I think, is what the gospel today is really about. Where are you? I don't know. I feel I have nothing I can really rely on. I feel that quite a lot of what I've built up to make myself feel good doesn't work anymore. I don't know where I am. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom." Where are you? I don't know where I am. I'm in such grief and loss that I don't know which way to look. I feel the people who mattered most to me and the relationships that mattered most to me have been taken away. I feel alone. I feel wretched. And Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted." Where are you? I don't know where I am. I don't think I'm capable of very much. I do what I can. I put one foot in front of the next. I try to do my best with the people God's given me to work with. I don't have high hopes of myself. I don't have very high hopes of anybody else, really. I try to live in such a way that I don't tread on other people's toes too much. I don't know where I am. And Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Where are you? I'm so angry I don't know what to do with my anger. I look around at the world and I see people suffering, hurting and dying everywhere I look. I can't sleep for thinking about the pain of the world, the hunger, the injustice, the children who die, those growing up under the shadow of war, the armaments manufacturers who put a cloud over the whole sky. I feel I'm being eaten away by the pain that's around me. And Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. They will be filled." Where are you? I don't know where I am. I've been very hurt, but I can't bear a grudge. What I want is to be reconciled. What I want is to see things put back together again. That's what I long for. I try not to carry grudges in my heart. I try to believe that there's a future, even in the most broken and difficult relationships, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, and blessed are the peacemakers. The merciful will have mercy, and the peacemakers will be called God's children. Where are you? Where am I? I've never really thought about it. I get up in the morning. I say thank you to God for the day. I eat my breakfast. I talk to my family. I go to work. I look to God. I trust Him. I don't know any more than that. Why do I need to? Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The point is that the Beatitudes are not a series of rules for living a good life. Oh, I've got to be meek. Always a bit of a challenge. They're simply statements. Is that where you are? Well, funnily enough, that's where Jesus is as well. And learning to look at where you are, to ask who you are, what it's like with you inside, that's part of opening up the door for the gospel. Because as you help people to see where they are and who they are, then, actually, the archdeacon in my story was quite right. Not only is the church with them, but the Lord Christ is with them. Because in all those places that so many people in our world inhabit, those difficult places, what happens is that there is room for the great question to take root. That great life-giving question, if this is where I am and who I am, is there someone who sees me and knows me and understands from the inside and loves me and trusts me and gives me a future? Because the more we seal off our lives from any possibility of failure and muddle, the less room there is for that wonderful, life-giving question. I love the sight of a question mark. I don't quite know why. There's something about that dot at the bottom, the seed, and the great sort of unexpected that comes out of it. The leaf shape that springs up from that little dot that says, somehow, a question can be really life-giving and life-changing and world-enlarging. And when we as evangelists go into the business of sharing the good news, it's partly a task of trying to press that little dot of questioning so that out comes the luxuriant flower of the question mark. Where am I? Who am I? Am I seen? Am I understood and held and loved? And we as evangelists are not there to answer all the questions in detail that arise out of that, but we are there to give a clear answer to that one question that arises out of the little seed. Am I seen and understood and loved and held and given a future? Yes. Yes. All the promises of God gather together in the yes of Jesus Christ. Because where the poor in spirit and the mourners and the meek and the hungry for justice and the merciful and the pure and the peacemakers are, there He is, within, at work. And we, bringing the good news, don't simply bring Jesus where He isn't, you all know this. We uncover the Jesus who is there already, waiting for us, and who, in the person we're talking to, has good news for us. As I say, you know this. You know that in sharing the gospel, you hear the gospel. You know that when that life-giving question has sprung up in someone else's life, it comes back to you with a radiance, a challenge, and an excitement that enlarges your own heart. So today, Jill and Phil, we are licensing you to go and press that little button of the question, the life-giving question Where are you? And as you listen hard to people's replies, it's surprising how many of them weave into those sayings of Jesus in the Beatitudes. And as people recognize themselves somehow there, then we can say, yes, and that's where Jesus is. Never fear, my man, your church is with you. But much more than that, and rather more encouraging than that, never fear, sister, brother, Jesus is there. Understanding, promising, faithful in all things, ready to give you a future you never dreamed of. Seeing God, inheriting the earth, being fully consoled and fed with justice, being at home in the kingdom of heaven. If that isn't good news, I don't know what is. And it is, as the prophet says, new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.